Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. By doing that, we can learn how to live from the inside out. It is by letting your heart matter that you will be able to claim control over your choices and your creations. Each week, we explore one heart energy. These energies are qualities that make up your soul or your spirit. They're broken down into qualities that you get to understand, you get to feel, you get to express in your life. And each week we look at a different one. We invite you to meditate and pray with us each week so that you will be able to be tuned in to the energy that we're talking about. Your picture and your experiences around each energy will be different than ours. But by talking together and sharing questions and comments and by listening to what Russell and I have to say, it will stimulate you in this energy. It will begin to resonate with you so that it will expand who you are around each energy. Today, the energy is focus. And with each heart energy that will be emailed to you if you sign up for it on the website, there is a little saying, a little quote that sort of, again, stimulates your thinking and your awareness around an energy. Focus is present when what is happening in your outside world doesn't take you away from what is important inside you. Let me repeat it because that really does say it well. Focus is present when what is happening inside, what is happening in your outside world doesn't take away from what is important inside you. So in other words, whatever is going on in your life doesn't keep you from staying focused on who you are inside, so you can live from the inside out. When you meditate, you have your right brain and left brain receiving the information from your heart or your spirit. Whatever quality you have is presented to you in your right brain as a picture and in your left brain as understanding. We usually have one or the other side of our brain dominant, and you may get more understanding than picture or more picture than understanding, but it's important that you get both. So those two parts of you, the feminine and masculine, begin to work together. So if you're not good at getting them to work together, just keep trying. So today, when I was focused on focus, I was remembering a drive we had back when you had just gotten your driver's license. So you were, 16? And we had gone from Atlanta to visit my sister for Thanksgiving in Kentucky. And we were driving back through Chattanooga. And I don't know if you've ever driven through Chattanooga, but it always rains. It's sort of like Seattle. I don't know what it is, and I'm sure it doesn't. But for me, whenever I've been there, it's always rained. Well, I don't have good night vision. We were in the car that Russell had gotten. No, this wasn't your car. What car were we in? I don't remember.
It's probably that big Buick Electra you had.
Yeah. It was a car that was not difficult to drive, but I didn't have good night vision. And we were trying to make our way through. It was late at night because we'd waited too late to leave, and you and your brother were in the car, and he was 2 years younger than you, so, you know, two teenagers. And here it was, pouring down rain, me and at night with poor night vision, and the outside totally claimed my focus. I was not focused internally at all on any quality of anything. I was just panic-stricken that here I was with my two sons driving at night when I had poor night vision in rain in a place that I was not familiar with. The outside totally took my focus, and I got so unnerved that I turned the driving over to Russell. Now, Russell was a very responsible teenager, so that's not as bad as it sounds, but Russell drove us all the way in from Chattanooga to Atlanta. He said, "Mom, I can see." I couldn't see a thing. It was pouring. But that story came up for me when I thought, okay, I totally lost focus of anything inside. And what happened to me was all these fears came pouring in. All of whatever was anxiety or whatever was around me, outside of me, I had just opened the door to it. My little bit of fear just synergized with everything outside of me. And that's what you're going to do. So if you're bringing your heart from the inside out, then you're presenting the magnet that synergizes. But if you're not bringing your heart, then you're just vulnerable to whatever comes in. And I had lost focus. That's what came up for me. I hadn't thought about that story in a long, long time. I guess because I just wanted to forget it. What came up for you?
Well, believe it or not, I had a driving story also come to me.
Maybe we should compare notes before the show.
This was about Dave, my brother, when he got his license. He had been driving for, I don't know, maybe a month or something. I mean, a freshly minted license. You could still smell the shine on it. And he was driving, and I was in the back seat, and you were in the passenger seat. And we had all gone up to the movies or the grocery store or something, not very far from home. And we were coming through the parking lot. We had just gotten in the car and we're still in the parking lot. And, you know, people drive crazy in parking lots. They, you know, just zoom around corners and cut across spaces that are supposed to be, you know, off limits. And Dave was driving, and he was actually a very safe driver. He was very, I don't know what the term was. This is before people were ADD or ADHD or whatever. They didn't really diagnose him as anything, but they said that he did have attention problems, and they would have put him on Ritalin if you had let them. So I had always thought of him as not having good focus. But I think what it was that he could just focus on one thing at a time. He was not good at multitasking. You give him too many things to think about, and he would just get lost in them. But with one task, he could really zero in on that. And he did that when he was driving. He was very zeroed in on the driving. And he was still, you know, with that brand new graduated into driving sort of habits where you do everything by the book, just like it says in the little driver's manual. And we were driving through the parking lot, and somebody zipped around a corner right in front of us and then threw on their brakes so as not to hit the car in front of them. And this is maybe like two car lengths in front of us. Still plenty of time to react, but close and totally unexpected. And, you know, I was in the back seat. I figured, you know, whatever. It's a big car. It was, I think, a Mercury Cougar or something like that that you owned at the time. And so I just kind of relaxed and braced myself in the back seat. I figured, you know, fender bender at worst. And you, Jackie, screamed bloody murder, clutched at the dashboard. "Dave, look out, Dave!" Dave, cool as a cucumber, looked over his shoulder to do the appropriate head check that they teach you in driver's training, switched lanes calmly by turning on the blinker, went right around them, and just continued on. And then after it's all over, he goes, "What? What? What were you screaming about?"
Oh, I was no good at teaching you all. I got somebody else to teach you to drive, and then you taught Dave. I just didn't have what it took to teach somebody to drive.
And that, to me, was the perfect example of Dave's focus, that he couldn't do a lot of stuff at once, but when he was focused on, for instance, safety, he was still very concerned about being a safe driver and was doing all the things that the manual tells you to do. But when he was focused on that internal safety, he didn't even notice the screaming around him. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't until later that he was like, what was all that noise?
That's a really good story. Yes. Well, you can tell by these stories that I am not really good at being in a car. So as a result, I don't drive very much. Well, when I meditated on this, and as I said, your daughter came down to see me because I had been away to give a speech this weekend in Atlanta, and she was missing me, so she came down and was crawled up on my lap while I was meditating. And that's fine, because she's a good meditator, so it didn't distract at all. But I got this picture of me about age 7. And if you've all listened to me before, you know that I didn't really bring myself from the inside out. I stayed inside. I was a very internal person, child, because I wasn't accepted in my expression when I did try. So I really had a sense of myself, but I never expressed it. I never brought it out. So I didn't have the ability to bring the focus of who I knew I was inside out. Except at age 7, my mother made me this very soft lavender, I don't know what kind of material, I don't think it was silk, because she wouldn't have been able to sew with silk, but it was soft. It was very, very soft, and it was lavender, and it had a ruffle on the bottom and a ruffle at the top, and it was very feminine, and I was a very feminine little girl, and I really felt like that dress had given me permission to be me in the outside world. I was a different person when I put that dress on, because I knew who I was inside, but I didn't think it was safe to express me all the way out. So my focus on the inside got a chance to come on the outside. And when I had that dress on, when it says, in the little quote, when it says, focus is present when what is happening in your outside world doesn't take you away from what is important inside, that dress did that for me.
Hmm.
I'm not sure why, whether it was the softness, the color, or the way it was made, but all of those pieces together, all the gentleness that I was and that soft, kind, sweet child that I really was, had a chance to express. Most of the time I was just a very cautious, careful child so that I wouldn't upset my mother. But that part of me came out when I put that dress on.
I had never heard that story. That's very cool. The thing that came to me in my meditation was a picture of the little steel ball on the back of a trailer hitch, like you have on your pickup truck. I own a pickup truck, my wife and I do, and we've towed, you know, U-Haul trailers, and I think we moved a boat one time. And it's just one little steel ball, maybe about the size of a golf ball, but it is the hinging point between the mass and force of your truck and the big weight that you're pulling behind you, whether that be a boat or a trailer. So you've got two big, heavy objects pulling with a lot of force in different directions. And that little ball in the center holds those two together and keeps one from breaking away from the other, and also helps transfer the flow of energy from one to another. And the more I meditated on that image, what came to me is that's really what focus does. It is, like you said in your little quote at the beginning, it's the connecting point between the inside and the outside. That if you have a poor connecting point, then the inside will become very important and you'll forget to translate that to the outside and you'll just live in a fantasy world. Or the outside will become too important and you'll just be all wrapped up in the problems and you'll forget who you are in the moment. that you need that strong little steel ball that connects those two. And when you have that, you can get totally drawn in to, say, a book. A lot of people focus really well when they're reading a book. They can shut out the outside world. But what you're really doing there is connecting who you are to the piece of, say, adventure that the author was trying to convey. So that focus becomes the little steel hitching ball that connects your internal self to the author's adventure, which he's embedded in that book. Or it could also be the connecting point between your internal understanding and the external problem that you're working on, whether that be a puzzle or something you're trying to figure out in your finances. That without focus, those two break apart. The problem just becomes a thing to be dealt with, and the understanding inside of you never gets translated outside. So the focus acts as a little hinging point where those two can come together and pull against each other, and one will not overpower the other or break away from the other.
Hmm, that's cool. You know, we had in our little questionnaire, a lot of people respond and say that they would like for us to take these examples and make application in life a little more, so they could learn how to take their pictures and put them into a left brain understanding, because if you don't apply them to your life, it doesn't do a whole lot of good.
Right.
So I was just thinking of my example, which was kind of similar to yours. My dress was the same thing as that little ball on the back of your truck.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking what gives me permission to express who I am. Now, I don't really have a big problem with that anymore, but I think that may be the thing people need to look for in this, is to say, okay, what gives, if I know who I am inside, what gives me permission to express that?
Mm-hmm.
What gives me permission to bring that? Because when I did this speech this weekend in Atlanta, wonderful group of Jamaican women, an incredible audience. There were about 150 of them there, and I was talking about relationship, which is something I talk about a lot. And I was trying to get them to see how these heart energies that we talk about could be applied to their life. And the example I gave several examples, but the last example was something they all could identify with. And so I'm going to give that as a way. I asked them to look at cooking and look who they were while they were cooking, because that's a connector. And then when you come to the table, and I gave the example that I cook with a lot of health and my husband cooks with a lot of creativity. And so when I come to the table and he has cooked, I need to appreciate his creativity. And when he comes to the table, he should appreciate my health.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not cooked exactly the way he would like it, or his isn't cooked the way I would like it, to appreciate that energy. But if we come together in relationship, then both health and creativity need to be covered. But I was just thinking of that example as a way that people could start, if they've never practiced this before, of bringing themselves from who they are, is to look and say, okay, who am I while I'm cooking? And to let cooking be the connector that gives them permission to express in whatever way they want to express.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
We need to practice giving ourselves permission to bring the who we are into focus in our world. So that, yes, we're still cooking, we're still doing things, we're still producing, but we get to be focused. We don't lose focus of who we are in that doing. That intent is still there.
The best application that I could think of that would really bring focus into your life is that exercise that you had most of the students who take your awareness classes do this last, I guess it was in the fall that we did it, where you had us list all the activities in our life and then prioritize them. Say, you know, if you look at your heart and you say, which thing do I love the most? And then just prioritize them according to love. And then try and operate from that list. It was a wonderful way for me to bring focus to my life. I made a list, and it turned out that my family rated a little higher than our community here at Ottawehe. Those were the order of my priorities. My personal spiritual growth was first, and then my relationship with my wife, and then I forget the exact order, but family and then community is how it worked out. And so I had that list in my pocket, and I was trying to operate from that list, and I went on a shopping trip on my day off. I went up to the nearby big town. You know, we live in a tiny little town. I went to a nearby bigger town to visit a toy store to get some stuff for my kids, and I also wanted to visit the video store to buy some DVDs for our video store here on the property. So one of them I thought of as doing something for my family, and one of them I thought of as doing something for my community. So I was running from place to place, and it just so happened that the video store was closer than the toy store. And so I went into the video store first, even though that was not my top priority. And it did not work. The manager was not there. The store was not open when it was supposed to be open. I waited for 15 minutes. The sign said they were supposed to be open already. There was nobody there. I had to get back eventually. I was supposed to eat lunch with somebody. I thought, you know, I cannot do this. I'll just have to run to the toy store and get that done first. And so I went there, and I took care of that, and that went rather smoothly. And I came back, and because the toy store had gone so smoothly, I had about 5 minutes. And I thought, well, what the heck, I'll try. And I zipped into the video store. All the videos I wanted were right there on the first table. The manager was there. He helped me personally. He apologized for being late. He got me out of there in 4 minutes flat. Everything flowed smoothly when I was focused on the things that were important to me and completed them in that order.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. To have a structure that fits your internal focus in an external way is incredibly important. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't have a structure that fits our internal self, then there's no connector that's going to work.
It was very powerful for me. It really made me think, if you don't focus on what's important to you, the most important to you, and finish that, and then go on to the thing that's second most important to you, then you're jumping around. You're dividing your focus. You're splitting the power of who you are. That focus piece is what takes all the power of who you are and brings that from the inside out into the outside world. And if you don't focus on what's most important and try and hop around, then you've dissipated your internal power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to acknowledge our sponsor. Our sponsor is NatureCare. And NatureCare is the world's leading organic and plant-friendly feminine hygiene product producer on the market today. They make it possible for you to have a healthy choice when buying tampons, pads, liners, and wipes. Most people that listen to a show that has to do with heart energies, with the spiritual essence of who you are really interested in health, spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical. So these are the people that go around checking labels to see if there's harmful ingredients, and that's a good thing to do. And you need to check for environmental pollutants in your food and in the products you use. But you also need to consider the necessity for purity with the feminine hygiene products, too, because These products touch you in the most sensitive of places, ladies. It's very important that they stay pure. So support yourself in health and purity, as well as support the planet and support the heart energies of purity and health by buying NatureCare products. We have an email from Helen in Atlanta, Georgia. It says, when the outside world makes demands on me, I feel overwhelmed. I have two deadlines at work right now, and I'm in a panic to get my work done. How can I make the panic go away and focus on my inner self? Well, I think, Helen, that's kind of exactly what happened to me when I was in the car. It's very easy to let the focus on the outside take over so that really there is no focus. You're just consumed. Or, like you said, if you just are in your inner self, while that's beautiful and wonderful, if it doesn't make application in the world, it can become just an imaginary world. It has no reality until it comes into the physical. So we just have to see that we're making sure that the inside is the most important, that it has the most acknowledgement. I still had to figure out how to get home and to drive, but I had let the rain and the darkness take over, and I had totally lost focus of the heart. So what you need to do, as far as I'm concerned, Helen, would say, okay, what is each deadline asking from me inside? And to begin to focus on that inside quality, heart energy, quality, God quality that you have, because you've created these jobs for the opportunity to express these parts of yourself. So if you will focus on each, as you're doing each one of these deadlines at work, what is the inside focus? What is the heart energy that is needing to be expressed here? And when you do that, then you're flowing from the inside out, and you begin to have control of your world rather than your world controlling you. Anytime your world controls you, you're either going to be overwhelmed, you're either going to be afraid, which is a form of overwhelm, you're going to be angry because you feel like it's victimizing you or pushing you, you're going to have negative emotions. Even if you're not aware of them, you are. And that begins to fill your space. So basically, you have a choice. Do you want the quality of your God essence to fill your space? Or do you want the outside, whatever it is that's pushing inward, to fill your space?
Yeah, that's well described. I would add to that the piece that I put forward about the love priority list. You can modify that at work. You know, in a global sense, you would say, what's most important to me? You know, my career, my family, my spirituality, you know, put all those things on a list and then just sort of organize them, number one, number two, number three, whatever. Put them in the order that they come most importantly. But you can also do that on a smaller scale at work. You can say, at work, I am asked to be these things. I'm asked to be service. I'm asked to be quality. I'm asked to be organization. I'm asked to be creativity. And then which of those is most important to me? Which really feeds my soul the most? Well, the creativity, and then the quality. And, you know, just put those in priority list. And then anything you're asked to do there during that day, say, what is this calling on? Is this calling for me to be organized, or is this calling for me to express service? And then do the ones that are most important to you first, and everything will kind of flow out of that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. You know, I had mentioned the cooking as a possibility to start focusing on the inside and let that express outside and have that connected focus. But, you know, I thought of another idea, too, while I was meditating with this today. What if a person three times a day, After you'd meditated in the morning, you stopped to say, I am, and whatever the energy, like today, I am focus. I'm going to spend the next 30 minutes and like do it right after breakfast, right after lunch, right after supper, so you have a schedule. A structure is very important. What if you did 30 minutes after breakfast and said, I'm going to focus on how I feel when I am in focus, connecting who I am with what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea, too.
Then after lunch, you said, okay, I'm going to spend the next 30 minutes thinking and speaking who I am today. And today, the energy's focus. So you would think, well, what does focus mean to me? Because sometimes we meditate and then we never think about it again.
Right.
What does it mean to me? How can it expand in my life? How could I take a baby step? And then the third would be the physical, right after supper, 30 minutes. Everything you do, make it a total acknowledgement that I am putting this energy of who I am into cleaning up the dishes. I am focused on bringing who I am as a person into this energetically. I'm flowing from the inside out. That's just a suggestion for a baby step. We're trying to give you application because meditation is perfectly necessary. It is a wonderful habit, and you really need to acquire it. However, once you realize that these qualities are you and you keep them separate in your life from your doing, then that focus point of connection is not there, and you have two separate worlds. That's the way I lived as a little girl until I put on my lavender dress.
Mm-hmm.
There was me that I knew about inside, that I fantasized about and dreamed about, but never felt safe enough to bring. This gives you practice.
Yeah.
This would give you practice. If that's too much to do it three times a day, then just do it while you're cooking. But practice it. And like you said, Russell, if you can take one area of your life like work and say, well, what are my love priorities here? What are the heart energies that I love in myself, and prioritize those? Because if you bring your biggest self to work, you're going to get your biggest return.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sometimes we're required to bring smaller heart energies and qualities that aren't so empowered in us to work or to a relationship or someplace like that. But if we bring our biggest ones, then the little ones can fall in line.
Right.
Okay. We have another email from Nancy in Wilmington, North Carolina. What if someone needs me and their need is not in line with my priorities? How can I say no when it's an emergency? You want to start with that one, Russell?
The thing that comes to me around that, and this has been very helpful for me, I would call this a baby step of sorts, in developing my focus, has been to acknowledge whatever I feel the situation is about. If somebody comes to me and they say, oh, I really need your help organizing these documents, blah, 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 blah. It's real easy to get sucked into that. You know, the outside world's got a demand on you. The project does need to be finished. Your name's going to be on it. This is a big deal. But if you can say, thank you for the... and then name the energy that you feel it's about. And you may just feel like you're plucking something out of the air at first, but after a while, you'll begin to get a feeling for what's really there. Even if you can't put a name on it, you can describe it. You can say, thank you for the chance to organize. Later, you might be more specific, and you might say, I really feel you're asking for order, or something like that. But just acknowledging what's there. And I do this in the online classes that we offer. It's very empowering for me whenever somebody is talking to see if I can thank them for, acknowledge what they're bringing. If they are coming to me with something that's confusing them, I'll say, thank you for that gift of understanding that you're reaching for.
Mm-hmm.
And then instantly I know I'm dealing with understanding. And if understanding is a big quality for me, if it's very important to me, if it would be high on my priority list, then it's very easy for me to focus on it. If understanding is not something that I'm big in, then it's going to be hard for me to really focus on it. So I'm going to need to clear out all the other stuff first. It allows me to focus who I am inside, like my brother Dave did when he was driving. He was so focused on the safety that he didn't even notice the distractions. But to not notice those distractions, you have to be pretty clear that it's safety you're wanting to bring. So getting in the habit of acknowledging what this moment is about is the quickest way to develop your focus. That's the point that keeps you from getting too sucked into the outside problem or too sucked into the inside fantasy, is being able to acknowledge this is a moment where X or Y is being called for. And I do that by thanking people. If somebody comes to me and they have a question or a problem or a comment, even if they just say, oh, you did such a wonderful show, I'll say, thank you for the appreciation. And by being able to focus in on what that moment was about, I can instantly tell whether I have much to bring to that situation, whether it's a high priority for me. It gives me a whole lot of tools to work with, and it's a great way to build my focus.
But if somebody comes to you in just an emotional state, and you really can't find the energy there, you know, oh, I get those calls frequently. I got one this weekend while I was in Atlanta saying, you know, I'm really sick. I'm throwing up. Help, help, help. And what they emotionally wanted from me was for me to fix them
right, instantly.
But by staying focused on who I was, and I was very much, I went to Atlanta to help these ladies raise money for a school in Jamaica, and I was really going in the energy of support. Mm-hmm. I was being support. That whole weekend, I was support. So I got the call while I was in the energy of support. So it's not, okay, he has a need so I can be supportive.
Right.
It's, he has a need and truly does have a need, but I'm not responsible for the need. I'm responsible for bringing support. If I get pulled into his need because he's very upset, he's sick, for goodness sake. I mean, you get upset when you're feeling throwing up and really sick. And so he had a need, but if I just look at his need and say, well, let me name an energy for that need, then I'm going to get sucked in, and really that's just naming something. That's really not connecting me. So I've lost the focus. But if I'm focused on that I'm support, and how can I best bring support, not what does he need,
right,
what is he saying he wants me to bring, but what can I bring, then I could say, okay, let's back up a little bit and let's look and see what is your issue here.
Mm-hmm.
That caused you to get sick to begin with. That was real support. Now, yes, I could have just taken away his, changed the energy in his energy field and taken that away, but that wouldn't have been support.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to stay connected with his request, but his request was not the predominant. If the outside emergency becomes the predominant, then you're really not bringing anything.
Right. Good clarification.
Okay. We have I think I read that one from Nancy. Yeah. Okay. We have one from Bill in Orlando. Bill says, it seems like when I'm really upset, I forget all of the baby steps you talk about. All I can do is cry and feel bad. I lose all focus. Help. I think that happens to a lot of people, a lot.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going to tell a story that's probably totally off focus, but Rodney and I were eating years ago in our little favorite cubby hole of a restaurant, Quinny's in Atlanta, and It was lunchtime, and this little girl was there with her mama, and they'd just come from kindergarten. And her mother said, "Honey, your teacher tells me that you had a fit today." And she said, "Yes, I did, Mama." And she said, "Well, could you tell me what that's about?" And she said, "Well, I missed you, so I cried and cried and threw a fit." And the mother said, "Well, your teacher has a lot of students to see about, so it's okay to miss me, but next time you miss me, could you do something else?" She said, "Uh-huh." So basically, Bill, when you're really upset and crying and crying and throwing a fit, what you can think about instead of "can you do something else," you can think about "can I be something else?"
Yeah.
"Can I be whoever I was this morning?" And the answer to that is just like the little girl, "Uh-huh."
Mm-hmm.
"I can be something else." Yes, that was one way to deal with it, but if you're being something else, there's always that other alternative. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, another simple baby step for me that's really helped me build my focus is meditation. I know that we talk about this a lot, but people will be at various stages with it. When I first started out meditating, it was very simple, sort of following in the mold of the transcendental meditation that was very popular in the late 70s and early 80s. There was books out about it. But it was wrapped around a technique that they called sort of slippery consciousness, where you try and just quiet your mind and your emotions, and if a thought or feeling comes up, you imagine that your mental stage or screen in there that your inner eye is looking at is kind of coated in slippery wax, and the thought or feeling will kind of come up and then just slide off the edge of the screen and disappear. And if another feeling comes up, you just say, "Hi, see you," and let that feeling slide off. And just practicing not letting those things get stuck, where I can now have a feeling or a thought and it doesn't immediately grab my attention and jerk me over there and say, "Look, here's a problem. What are you going to do about it?" Instead, I'm able to say, "Oh, yeah, that's a problem, and I'm kind of upset about it," and I can just let that slide away and then let my focus return to who I want to be today and how would that apply without letting those outside upsets and questions get a hook in me and pull my attention away.
You know, we talked earlier about focus, structure, being a huge support, physical structure, for our inner focus of who we are. It really does help me if I just write down, after I write down who I am that day, I write down what I have to do that day and try to make a connection of how I'm going to bring, either in a feeling, like I talked about, how am I going to feel the energy I am today, or how am I going to think and speak it, or how am I going to act it, seeing which one of my bodies, the mental, the emotional, or the physical, is going to be most actively involved in that task, and say, okay, I'm going to feel, think, or I'm going to act the energy with this, and actually write that little note beside the task.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I've said who I am at the beginning, and just writing that out, that structure, really makes you more conscious. Otherwise, we just unconsciously slip from one task to the next. We do the slippery consciousness thing, but it's not in meditation. It's more in just sort of being a robot as we go through
right.
our day.
It's a lot like the making of a budget that we talked about last week with Flo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those definitions, those structures that we set really help us bring the inside out into the world.
You know, I went in the energy of support this weekend to give that talk, and you were supporting me before I left, suggesting, well, why don't you get in touch with some of the students that you've had before? And so I came home and I thought about it, and I said, there's one I would really, really, really like to get in touch with, and that would be Jan Rush. I just love Jan. Well, I didn't make a phone call. I didn't make it. It was sort of rushed, and I didn't do any of that. Guess who showed up at the at this empowerment conference? Jan Rush. Because structuring it, I had structured it and said, as an expression of support, Jan has always been supportive of me. So if I'm going in the energy of support, she would fit as a love priority.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of my students were supportive at the time, but that hasn't maintained. So I didn't see that there any of the rest of my students I could that I've had in the past. I love them, and so in my heart I love them, but they have not been a continuous love priority in my life, a structure in my life. Jan has always been there as a support. So I could say, okay, this fits with who I am,
mm-hmm.
with support this weekend. Didn't structure it enough to go ahead and call her, but I put that energy out, and she picked up on the support and the structure and joined us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great story.
I want to talk a little bit about our new CD that we have out. We try to bring one of our products, that our growth resource products, that will really help you with a particular energy that you're dealing with. If focus happens to be one you're really trying to work with, we have a new CD out called Conflict Resolution. It's a 70-minute one. It's rather long, but there's a lot in it.
Mm-hmm.
A whole new way of looking at conflict and how to resolve it. It's the way, that whole CD, we talk about exactly what we're talking about today. How to get to the internal focus and bring it to the external focus in both people so that there is a place to come together,
mm-hmm.
and resolve. It will help you in at work. It will help you in relationships. It will help you internally.
Right.
So most people do have a problem with focus. They maybe can focus while they're meditating. They maybe two or three times during the day could even remember it and do this assignment I suggested. But to stay focused all day in every activity is very hard. We get pulled into the outside world, and we're living from the outside in, taking the outside in, whatever's being offered us, instead of taking from who we are and bringing that light to the outside. So, conflict resolution, do you want to speak to that?
I like the idea of conflict resolution as a resource that would help a person build focus, because like you said, in that CD we talk specifically about how any external conflict first starts as an internal conflict, a breakdown in communication between one part of you and another part of you, and that you must be able to focus on that internal part and get that resolved before anything's going to change externally. And that's sort of what we're talking about today, that idea that focus is the way that you get the internal part of yourself to operate in the midst of all those external problems without just getting yanked out and having your attention be all about the external problems. So it's a great resource, but it's also going to help you, I hope, see things slightly differently, because I believe that people have different kinds of focus, and you must make some acknowledgement for that if you're going to resolve conflicts. My wife and I had a really good talk this week about our different pictures of focus. And I realized that we come at focus from entirely different directions. And so trying to focus together has always been a nightmare for us. And I think maybe we got past that this week. But this idea of how do you focus is what was really tripping us up. My wife focuses from the larger perspective down to the smaller. She just tries to take in every single thing that's related to a particular topic and funnel them all down to one specific thing. And at that point, she's got that laser-like focus where the blinders are on and she's, you know, can't be distracted. But it's like a funnel. She goes from that largest picture down to that immediate point. But she has to touch all the many things that are happening before she can zero in on that one crucial point.
When we were having the house meeting last night, each Sunday night we have a house meeting and we talk about our karma and our dharma of the week and how are we going to bring our dharma to our karma. Your wife was doing that. She was naming all the different hard energies of her karma and all the different heart that was missing to create the karma and all the different heart energies that were made up her dharma. And your daughter was saying, "Mom, which one?"
Yes.
But she had to go through all of them because any one heart energy does touch with lots of different facets. And by looking at all of those, she could pick which one was the subject.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I'm exactly the opposite. My piece of focus looks like that same funnel, but I start from the different end. I start with one specific thing, and by focusing very tightly on that thing, I begin to see how it fits in. And I begin to see all the pieces that touch around its edges. It's like if I looked at one piece of a puzzle and looked really carefully at where the puzzle stuck out and where the little indentations were, then I would see the pieces that fit with it. And I could gradually build up all the pieces until I got a huge picture of the whole puzzle. But I couldn't do that unless I started with one. If I just looked at the whole thing, I would see a million pieces spilled out on the table and I would become overwhelmed. I have to start with one little corner of the puzzle and just build out from there.
Well, that's a good picture for people to look at. You know, I have a hard time saying this is just one heart energy. In any action, like I might say a lot of gratitude, but appreciation is a little different to me than gratitude, and I might see some of that in there where there's that genuine sort of compassion that goes with it. And or if a person's bringing order, many times they bring organization with it. Whereas you would say, oh, I am bringing organization, and then it would spread out into the physical, and these are all the ways I can do it.
Exactly.
Whereas I do very much like your wife, and I look at that one thing in the physical and say, oh, you're cleaning up the laundry room. Oh, look. And she and I did her laundry room today, this week, and I came over and I said, well, in the energy of purity today, I want to, no, in the energy of support it was, in the energy of support, I want to come and help you clean this today. But when we got there, she and I, of course, go off into this right brain big picture, and she said, boy, this is a lot of purity. And I said, yeah, a lot of order and a lot of organization. And she said, yeah, a lot of structure. So we took this one task and went to all these energies, whereas you take one energy and see all the tasks. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But it is important that you have the connection.
Yeah, understand what your piece of focus looks like.
Yes, and how it works from both ends, the outside and the inside. This is from Sam in Dayton, Ohio. My wife says I lose focus and don't finish fix-it jobs around the house. She says I have no completion, and I'm wondering if maybe it's focus that I don't have. What do you two think? How can I tell what's missing? I do think that when focus is missing, that was very good, Jackie. Okay. When focus is missing, you don't have a lot of power in what you do, and completion doesn't happen a lot of times. You may even start, but you don't have that momentum to finish because the connector is broken. You're just seeing the task. But when you are connecting with who you are, there's energy flowing through that connector, and your focus is of two worlds is there, and you are seeing what needs to be done, but seeing who you are, and that focus connector is the conduit that energy flows through and into the task, and it certainly does help with completion. Do you want to speak to that?
I would just fold that in with what we were just talking about, that you need to know what your piece of focus and completion looks like. I think Sam, if that's the person that we're responding to,
yes,
sounds very much like my brother Dave in that he could not do more than one thing at a time. He loved to start a million projects, but he would never finish any of them because he couldn't focus that way. His focus was one thing at a time. And when he could be focused, like totally, on driving the car safely, he could blot out all distractions and could be the ultimate safe driver under pressure situations that would make some other unnamed person scream and clutch the dashboard.
I was seeing all the possibilities of what could happen.
But if he had tried to do a million things like click his seatbelt and watch for cars and mess with the radio and plan what we were going to do when we got out of the car, he would have been a wreck and wouldn't have finished any of those. Mm-hmm. So you need to know what your piece of focus looks like. If you are a one thing at a time person, then you need to focus on that thing until it's complete and then go to the next one. Don't try and jump around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to remind people that if they go to bountifulbuys.com, you can do some wonderful shopping. You can enlarge and enhance your wardrobe at very inexpensive prices and with a great deal of ease. Plus, you're going to help in the recycling project of our planet. Helping to recycle says you care for the planet. You're reusing things and using very slightly used clothes, buying those, not only helps your budget, but it also helps you in recycling. So come to bountifulbuys.com and shop. Not only are there clothes, but you'll find that we have wonderful accessories, and you can find some gifts there too, very unique gifts. So bountifulbuys.com. In wrapping this up, I want to remind you that you can join us each week by signing up for the Heart Energy of the Week, and it will come with a little quote. It comes on Saturday morning, bright and early, so you have Saturday, Sunday, and Monday mornings to meditate and join with us. And we do invite you to join with us and meditate. We meditate from 6:30 to 7 Eastern Time every morning. And there is synergy in meditating together. Even though we're at a distance, your heart and our heart have the same intent, and we're joining together energetically. So that makes meditation more powerful for us. It's easier to do. So if you can join, if you're having trouble meditating, join us at the 6:30 to 7 time. It will be a synergy experience that will make it more powerful for you. We want you to remember that when your heart matters, you get to live from the inside out. When your heart matters, you claim control over your choices and your creations. So be sure and let your heart matter, and you utilize some of these baby steps that we have recommended, and you don't have to use those. If you're creative and want to use your own, that's great. In fact, if you'll let us know some of your new baby steps, we could pass those on. But make sure that your heart matters. It helps to re-listen to our archived shows because you're reminding yourself of the different energies that you're going to be during the week. You can specifically pick out certain ones that you're meditating on, and if you meditate on one or it comes up in your work a lot, then it means that you're needing to empower it in your life. Empowering it means using it, but empowering means expanding it and growing it also. So thank you for listening, and we'll be with you again next Monday.